This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu was-salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Jazakallahu khairan for joining today. So currently I am central time. So I am, it's 2:40 for me. If you want to just join in, let us know where you're joining from. What time is it in your part of the world? Last week, mashallah, we had people from all over the world. So we have people who are, you know, it's nighttime, it's afternoon, it's evening. So mashallah, we are all coming together for this really, really important topic. And because I want to also share a really, really important opportunity that we've just launched my class with Al Maghrib. And I want to also, take this opportunity as people are coming in. If you want to just let me know on the chat box where you're joining in from, give me your, I'm curious, like, what time is it where you guys are at? Where are you at? And what time is it? So as you guys are coming in with that, let me just see if I can make it so I can see. Okay. All right. That makes it easier. All right. So Pakistan. So as the people coming in, I just want to kind of explain Egypt. Wow. So I just want to kind of explain, number one, why this topic is so sort of, I think it's global. It's something that we all can relate to. It's something we all actually can really, really benefit from, inshallah. And that's finding inner peace during the hardship, right? Because a lot of times we got Montreal coming in, so I'm kind of just keep letting it come in as I'm talking. But we have, there's a lot of times there's this idea that, like, okay, I'm gonna get through this hard time, and then things are gonna start to get easier, right? So we have this sort of dichotomy in our mind about, you know, there's like good times, and then there's bad times, right? So when we're going through the bad times, or when we're going through the difficult times, a lot of us think, okay, after the hard times are over, then I'm going to get some peace, right? So there's this idea that hard times are something that, like, you know, are all bad, and then we get ease afterwards. So inshallah, we're going to talk more about whether or not that's the case. How do hard times work, and how can we actually find peace within the hard times, right? Not just after, and kind of break some of the, so we got people coming in while 12:40 a.m. in Pakistan. We had people coming in to Zakistan, mashallah. We had Egypt, we had the UK, Northern California, mashallah. Something that always blows my mind is just how we all can come together. We have Bahrain, how we all come together from various parts of the world, various walks of life. We got Malaysia 3:40 in the morning. This is like Qiyam time for you, mashallah. Fariza. We have Italy, Sara M, mashallah. Some of the names are just coming at. Yeah, I can see some of them. So what's amazing is that how we all come together under La ilaha illallah, from different walks of life, from different parts of the world. And it's like we all are literally one family. Like the Prophet ﷺ said that it's like one body. And that's why if one part of the body is in pain, the entire body responds with fever. So we, you know, mashallah, you really see that when you do these events, is that you see the level of cohesion that we have, even though all of us are, you know, we're all in different places geographically, but we're also in different places in our lives. And that's where I want to talk about, inshallah. I'll go ahead and begin. Just keep on coming in, introducing yourself, where you're from, what time is it there, Oakland, mashallah. So, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. This question of finding inner peace, Now, there's basically two parts to this topic, right? The inner peace part and the hardship part. Now, you know, recently there's been a lot of discussion about happiness. This is one of the new trends in psychology, is the study of happiness, the study of how to increase happiness. You know, previously in psychological research, the trend was more what they called abnormal psychology. So this was more of a study of, you know, looking at mental health disorders, looking at disease, and then like kind of deciding how can we, you know, treat these diseases. Here are the symptoms. This is how we treat it. But then now there's a new trend called positive psychology, where it's no longer focused on disease, but more focused on how can we improve the quality of our lives, right? So this is more, you know, things that have to do with flourishing in our lives, increasing happiness, increasing well-being. So, you know, what's really interesting now is that this discussion's become so popular, is like, how do we just become happier people? Everybody wants to be happy and everybody wants to increase their well-being, but how do you do it? And there's, of course, so many different theories, so many different definitions of what happiness even is. And so I really like this specific way of explaining it, because happiness isn't always what you think it is. Happiness isn't always found where you think it might be found. But that's why I want to talk about inner peace, because there's a difference between, you know, one person might define happiness as eating a chocolate cake. Like that is like happiness, you know. Another person, it might be biryani, you know. But what, you know, the fact that we chase these types of pleasures, and everybody defines it differently. And for the most part, we live in a society that defines happiness as a physical type of pleasure, right? So intimacy, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, basically, right? Good food. But what is true happiness? And I think that a better way to kind of get at that deeper meaning of happiness is to talk about peace. Is that we're not just talking about this fleeting type of pleasure, right? You ate the chocolate cake, you ate the biryani, and then it's just digested, you know, a few minutes later, it's gone. But what is real happiness? And I think that when you talk about real happiness, it's about finding a place of peace, all right? And how can we find that place of peace? And then the second part is, and this is confusing, because usually we think that peace is outside of hardships, right? You don't usually think about the two coming together. You know, we think, like I said, there's times of hardships and then there'll be times of happiness or peace after the hardship has passed. But this is really a question, and I think it's a quest for finding peace inside of the hardship. Finding peace within the hardship. So, you know, and this brings me to the opportunity, the class that I'm referring to, is that I have this class that I used to only teach in person. I used to teach it on site, and we recently, in the last few years, have been able to put it online. So now this class, Transformed, is available online. This is just basically a sneak peek at what I cover in this class. But if you get deeper into these topics, you find that that there is a formula, and of course it takes a lot of practice. It's something we work on until the day we die. But there is a formula given to us by Allah and His Messenger for finding peace within hardship. That it isn't just about having perfect times and then having awful times, but that to find a way to continue to be internally at peace, even while you are in that difficulty. And that really is the sensei level of dealing with dunya, right? So what I talk about in Transformed is it's actually an entire weekend course that has been made exclusively online. So anyone can access from anywhere in the world. Once you register, you get this exclusive and you get lifetime access to it. So you can actually interact with this material as many times as you want. You also get access to exclusive live Q&As. And I think this is one of the most important aspects, is that when you interact with this content, it's so important that you make it applicable to your life. And when you start to apply these things, you're going to have questions, and there's an opportunity to ask those questions live. So that comes along with the registration. Now, when talking about this idea of finding peace within the hardship, there's an entire section about this. But I just want to talk about just a few points today about how we can change our view, how we can change our lens in terms of how we see the world around us, how we see our experiences, and then that changes our response. So I just want to basically leave you with a few points, okay? The first myth that we need to change, and I think one of the most important things that we have to remember about this life generally, is that there is no such thing as just hard times. There is no such thing as all bad. When you are going through a hardship, it is never all bad. And this is one of the aspects, one of the part of the nature of dunya, is that it is never all bad and it is never all good. Okay, so the first thing we have to understand about this life, and I can just tell you this from personal experience, you know, anyone who's read Reclaim Your Heart probably knows that, you know, chapter one, from the very beginning of the book, I talk about how I was always sort of very idealistic, perfectionist, expected everything to be perfect. And so long as I went through my life, and I did this for a long time, way too long, that so long as I went through my life expecting everything to be perfect, expecting every person around me to be perfect, I was constantly disappointed. I was constantly let down. I was constantly upset, right? And the reason why that happened is because I had this very, very unrealistic expectation that things were supposed to be perfect. Had to be a certain way, and when they weren't, I was devastated. It was very difficult for me to deal with disappointment, and I think that the biggest mistake that I made was in my expectation. So I thought that, you know, but it has to be this way, and it was almost as though I had this subtle sort of belief underlying all of it, that I was already in Jannah, you know, like almost as though I was interacting with dunya in the way that Jannah is. And having that type of interaction or expectation of this life will break your heart. It will destroy you internally. You will never find peace because you're expecting something that is imperfect by its very nature to be perfect. Jannah is perfect. Dunya is not. Now, part of that understanding that this life is not perfect, it actually works both ways. So the same way that this life is not perfectly good, it is also not perfectly bad either. And this is another concept I really, you know, I really discuss deeply in the class, Transformed. I also touch upon it in Reclaim Your Heart, is that once I changed that mentality, once I changed that understanding, and I recognized that this life is not perfect good, and it is not perfectly bad either. So what that means is that while you are going through your hardest time, I just got a message recently. One sister told me she's just gone through a devastating divorce. You know, she feels broken. And she's asking, how do I get through it? You know, do you have any advice? And this is so many people can relate to this. When you go through a very, very difficult time, maybe you're in it right now, but while you're in that time, to be able to recognize that it is not all black, that it is not all dark, that it is not all bad, even in your hardest time. And that takes a different lens and a different understanding, because it's very easy for us. And I think this is part of like the way the brain is almost wired, is that we tend to focus on the negative things in our lives. We tend to focus on what our brain considers a danger or some sort of threat. Right. So whenever we have a fear, for example, our tendency is to focus on the fear and to exaggerate the fear through that focus. So this is another principle that you should always remember, and that is that whatever you focus on will grow. So in this case, if we focus on the fear, or we focus on the what is upsetting us, or what we've lost, or what we what's hurting us, maybe if we focus on what's hurt us in the past, or what we've lost in the past, that particular pain actually starts to become exaggerated in our own minds and in our hearts. So focus is essential. Expectation is essential. As soon as you realize that this life isn't perfect, you start to become more realistic in your expectations, and then you start to be able to respond to things in a better, more sort of holistic and healthy way. So if this life is not perfectly good, but it is not perfectly bad either, what is it then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna ma'a al-usri yusra." So this ayah is super deep, and it is also very misunderstood, and it is often even mistranslated. Okay, so this particular ayah that is in Juz Amma, it says that inna, indeed, ma'a al-usri yusra, that indeed with the difficulty is general ease. And this is grammatical in the sense that difficulty in this ayah is specific and singular. Inna ma'a al-usri, so alif lam is specific and singular. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. Yusra here is general. So what the ayah is saying is that with any specific singular hardship comes along with it. This is the ma'a here is so important, and it should actually transform the way we view our lives. The ma'a, just the word ma'a. Ma'a does not mean after. This ayah does not say after the hardship will come ease. It doesn't say that. It says with the hardship comes general ease. That's actually a game changer, because what Allah is telling us is that this is the design of the universe, that with every hardship, with every single hardship that Allah gives you, He will give you general and abundant ease along with the hardship. It's not after the hardship only, it is along with the hardship as well. And why is that so transformational? Well, it changes what we focus on. It changes what we become attuned to. If I am thinking, oh my God, everything is so bad right now, and nothing is good right now, because why do I start to feel that way when I'm going through difficulty? A lot of it doesn't have to do with the reality, but has more to do with the perception, and even deeper to do with the focus. So if my focus in the difficulty is only on the difficulty, only on the challenge, only on the fear, only on the pain and the loss, I will naturally not see the ease and the blessings that I actually have at that very moment. It's not that I have to wait for those blessings to come, but I already have them. And yet I am not seeing them because I am so hyper-focused on the difficulty and the challenge. So this is one of those concepts I cover in the class Transformed. So what I do in this class is I take this wide array of, you know, practical sort of experiences that we go through in life. You know, pain, loss, our spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we deal with our family, how we deal with our within our marriages, how we deal within our our social groups and our careers, and then talking about love, talking about what is healthy love, what is unhealthy love, and then talking about how to navigate our challenges in life, and really just changing the way we look at our lives and then the way we respond to our lives. But one of the most essential things to find peace within the difficulties, not just after the difficulties, because difficulties are always coming, you know, in waves, right? They don't stop. And so we have to find the ability to have peace within the difficulty. And one of the only ways to do that is to really change our lens, to change our understanding, and to change our focus. So the first sort of principle that I want to convey is that inna ma'al usri yusra, that indeed with the hardship is general ease. It's not just after. You don't say, okay, it's all bad right now, and that I have to wait for ease and I have to wait for blessings. You have them right now, but you just aren't seeing them. You just haven't given focus to them. And because you haven't given focus to them, they seem to you as insignificant. Right. Let me just give you an example. The person who is struggling in their relationship, say, since I gave that example, or maybe they have a relationship that ended. But at the same time, that same individual is healthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not tested them at that same time with disease, cancer, or any of the other, many diseases that other people are being tested with. That same individual may not be tested with poverty at the same time, that they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them provision, has given them rizq, has given them safety, Allah has not tested them with the tests that people in other parts of the world where they're literally, their life is in danger every single day. That they're in war zones, places where their homes can be bombed, places where their families are not safe. And so while that individual, and it isn't to minimize the difficulties that we go through, but it is more to widen the lens and to recognize and really to contextualize those difficulties, to be able to see more. It isn't, I think it's very important because on the one hand, like for example, in counseling, you know that one of the most important things that you do as a counselor is to legitimize the experience of the individual, of the client, right? To legitimize, not to minimize, not to that's the whole concept of gaslighting, is that when you're minimizing or delegitimizing a person's reality or experience. So it isn't about delegitimizing that pain or saying it doesn't matter. Sometimes people will use this type of rhetoric to invalidate someone's experience or invalidate or minimize someone's pain. And that isn't what is being said here at all. Rather, that experience is very real. The pain is very real. The loss is very real, but it isn't about it isn't about saying that that's not important, but it's more about widening the lens to include the other experiences that are simultaneously happening in the same time. That yes, that pain is very real. The pain of loss, the pain of losing a loved one, of a broken relationship, the pain of sickness, whatever that test, whatever that challenge is very real. But it's about widening that lens to include the other experiences that you are simultaneously being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah says inna ma'al usri yusra, he's not saying that the usr is not real. He's not saying that the difficulty isn't legitimate, but rather that he gives us the capacity at the same time in order to help us to cope with that very legitimate pain and that very legitimate difficulty. So it's about for example, we can't control the weather. We can't make it stop raining. We can't make, we can't say, I don't want any storms in this particular region during this particular time. We don't have control over the weather. But what we can do is we can take provision to protect ourselves from that weather. I can't make it stop raining, but I can get an umbrella, right? I can't control the storm, but I can go into a shelter. And that is the concept of finding peace within hardship. Is that understanding that, yes, that storm is very real. And yes, it is, perhaps it may be very, very painful, but there is a way to be able to cope And this is the coping mechanisms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And one of those coping mechanisms is through the yusr, the general ease that Allah gives us in other parts of our lives, in other departments. Allah may have given you one difficulty, but He also gave you social support. He gave you the ability to support yourself and your family. He gave you safety. He gave you health. He gave you the ability to, and you know, this is one of the greatest gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us, and one of the greatest of the risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is iman, is the fact that Allah made us Muslim, made us believers. And that is the greatest provision to in order to help with getting through our storms, is the provision of iman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His prophets through the most difficult storms, the prophets, peace be upon them, were tested the most hard, in the most severe of ways. And so we know that those nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tested most severely. And yet they are also the ones who do the best in the test. Why is that? Because they have the provision. They have the abilities given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to handle those tests. And first and foremost, that is the iman, the faith, and the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that becomes the provision to help us to cope with our difficulties. So the first principle here is that with the hardship comes ease, and that it isn't something that is outside, you know, that we don't ever have an all bad situation, and we don't have to wait until it's over to have ease, but we have to look for the ease within the hardship. And the more we focus on that, you know, this is why the practice of gratitude is actually so powerful. And this is countless studies have been found, you know, in the field of positive psychology, specifically about gratitude. And there are studies that show empirically, a lot of empirical evidence that gratitude is so effective that it actually has been used to treat depression, and very effectively. So just the you know, they did studies where they had people write down every single day 3 to 5 things that they are grateful for. Anything in their life, 3 to 5 every day. And it actually transformed their lives. It transformed their experience, and it helped them get out of depression. Just the ability to shift the focus, not to delegitimize, not to minimize necessarily what a person is experiencing, but to shift the lens, to shift the focus, to looking at the blessings and to enlarging the blessings through that that focus on them. That when you focus on something, it grows. And so focusing on blessings grows the blessings. وَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are grateful, I will increase you. So Allah is telling us that one of the ways to increase to abundance is through gratitude, is through just recognizing and showing thanks for what we already have. And it's a lot. It's a lot of blessings, but we sort of have to train the heart's eye and the mind to focus on the blessings within the hardship, and they will grow, and they will actually make it easier to cope with the legitimate pain that we are experiencing. One other thing I found really, really powerful recently was that Shaitan has a specific sort of tactic when we go through difficulty, all right? When Shaitan sees that we are in distress, Shaitan will do one of his tactics in order to paralyze us further is to remind us of the difficulty, he wants to exaggerate the pain itself. So sometimes Shaitan will actually try to bring us down through a lot of negative thoughts, right? Through a lot of negative waswasa, it's called. So waswasa is just the whispering of Shaitan, where, you know, he'll put ideas in our mind. And we know in the Quran, we ask for protection from the waswas al-khannas, right? The one who whispers and then hides or retreats. So he puts ideas in our mind and then he retreats. One of the ways he does this is that he reminds us of negativity. He reminds us of what we're afraid of. He reminds us of what we're upset about. He reminds us of what we're angry about. He uses anger a lot, to try to control us and to try to paralyze us. So negativity is one of his tactics. And by focusing and reminding us of the negative aspects of our experience, it enlarges it, right? What you focus on grows. So it enlarges it. Now, when a difficulty, this is very deep, when a difficulty is enlarged, guess what happens? We are so focused, and this is the thing about human beings, is that we can't be two places at once, okay? Same thing with our focus. We can't focus two places at once. We can't look two places at once. We're not owls, right? Like if you're facing this way, you can't see what's behind you, right? You have a little bit of peripheral vision, but generally you will see only in the direction that you're facing. And so what happens if you're facing your hardships and you're focusing on your hardships and you're enlarging your fears and your pain and your basically your struggle is where you're faced, where you're focused, then it does not allow you to focus on other than that. So that means you can't really see your blessings because it might be in the periphery, it might be back here, but you're not really focused on it because you're so focused on the difficult things, the challenges, the fears, the pain. But there's something else, and this is very deep. There's something else that you can't focus on because you're so focused on your challenges, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's very deep. So one of the tactics, very, very, sort of subtle tactics of shaitan is to distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways to distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make you see your problems as bigger than they are. And to make you see your problems as all encompassing. And then that's all there is this problem, is this loss, is this failure. And he will exaggerate that failure for you. Oh, you are such a failure. And look at this. And look at no one appreciates and no one understands. And you're all on your own. And, this very self-victimization, he wants you to be paralyzed by that. And by doing that, he has also done one of the most harmful things, which is that he has distracted you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by enlarging your difficulties, he has minimized the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your cognition, really, in your view and in your focus. He has made you focus instead on the negative things, on the difficulties. Now, and this brings me, inshallah, to kind of where I want to wrap up, is that Allah's prescription for pain is the exact opposite. And this is something that's so beautiful and so powerful. I touched upon it actually on the series, on last week's series. When you look at the ayat in the end of Surah Al-Hijr, I believe, where the Prophet is being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is acknowledging his pain, and Allah is saying that we know that what they're saying is making your chest feel constricted. We know that it's hurting you. We know Allah is saying that he recognizes the pain that is being caused to the Prophet by what the people are saying and what they're doing to him. So what does Allah do? Number one, Allah acknowledges it. And I think that to me is so beautiful because, as I mentioned before, even when you look at effective counseling, when they did research about effective counseling, they found that when you look at all the techniques of counseling, that the vast majority, something like 70% of it, of effective counseling is simply being heard, feeling that another person understands, is listening and cares. That actually is the most important and effective part of counseling. This is what Allah does. Allah is the most effective counselor, and Allah is high above any analogy. Allah says, we know what you're going through. We recognize your pain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the prescription, the cure. And that cure, it's so deep because it goes in, it's exactly the opposite of what shaitan does. It's exactly the opposite. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So his prescription for this pain is exalt the praises of your Lord. Look at that. It's exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enlarge the place of Allah in your life. Focus on Allah and His blessings. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. That when you exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the praises of Allah. So hamd here is not just to show thanks and gratitude, but to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's basically the more you make Allah bigger in your life, the smaller everything else is. Because like I said, we're human, right? We can only focus on one thing at a time, essentially, especially when it's a hyper focus. So if you make that hyper focus, the exalting of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, the gratitude, the thanks, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, then what that does naturally is it minimizes, it makes it less paralyzing. It makes it actually smaller, the challenge. وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, and be among those who prostrate themselves. Humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we break to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah, He puts us back together. And Allah elevates us. When you humble yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will elevate you. When you break to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Allah who puts you back together. Remember, Allah is Al-Jabbar. Allah is the one who mends. This is one of the meanings of Al-Jabbar. And so really just kind of putting it all together, this idea that this life is not perfectly bad or perfectly good, that it has difficulties, but it also has ease at the same time. And that what we focus on will grow, what we choose to make, you know, the focal point is what's going to become bigger in our lives and more encompassing. So widening that lens to see the blessings and the essential formula that's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, that you should exalt the praises of Allah and be among those who prostrate and humble themselves. So this is, you know, this is again a snapshot of what I cover in my class, Transformed. This is a class that I cover these themes. I cover many more themes, really about how to make this practical, how to apply these concepts in your life to transform your life. Because these concepts themselves, they don't come from me. These are the concepts given to us. These are concepts given to us by Allah and His Messenger, and they are transformative. They change your life. They allow you to be able to not just get through your storms, not just survive your storms, but thrive in your storms. And that's a powerful superpower. That's a sensei level. And this is something, of course, it's a work in progress. It's something we do until the day we die. But it is a lot of inner work that is required. And that's what, inshallah, this class Transformed. It's principles of spiritual development. It's a class that I've done. You know, I used to do it on site. Now it's available completely, exclusively online, and it's available to anyone in the world. When you register, you get access to all the material that you do that I would normally teach over an entire weekend full time, as well as these live. We get 4 live Q&As, so you'll have the chance to interact with the material and then ask your questions live, inshallah, with me and with the other students. So you also have that interaction. You can register at the link that's pasted below. But I really believe in this class because these are principles that changed my life. They're principles that I've seen change countless lives. And why? Because it's given to us by our Creator. It's simple as that. He made us and He knows how best to take care of His creation. You know, if you look at this very simple example, if you want to take care of a car, you know, if you have a Honda, you're not going to go to the Mercedes manual. No matter how fancy you think Mercedes is, you're not going to go to a Mercedes manual to take care of your Honda. You always go to the manufacturer because the manufacturer knows its creation. His creation is known to the manufacturer. That's how you learn to take care of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above any analogy. He's our creator, and He knows how to take care of our hearts, how to take care of our minds, and how to take care of our bodies and our souls, because He made it. And so we really, really have to realize and go back to the manual of the Creator Himself in terms of what's going wrong in my life. Why am I suffering so much? And how can I change that? So this is a class, Transformed is a class where I try to look at all of the, you know, many of these themes from a perspective, from an Islamic psychological and spiritual lens, and then try to make it really practical, right? So like things that we can actually do in our lives, not just the concept, not just the idea, but how does this affect us when we're dealing with our in-laws? How does it affect us when we're dealing with our spouse or our children or our parents? How does it affect us when we're dealing with heartbreak? How does it affect us in our careers? You know, talking about mental health, how it affects us in that sphere. But just overall, sort of the experience of this life and all the challenges that come along with it, how to apply these principles, these literal life-saving transformative principles in everyday life. So I hope that inshallah I will see many of you in these sessions that we're going to be having for the students. I hope you can register, because I really, really believe in this class. I believe in the content. I believe in these principles, because like I said, these aren't from me, but these are life-saving principles and transformative principles that come from our Creator. أَقُولِي قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام